Welcome to the program, Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit, with Father Kenise Cartmell. And now, Father Cartmell.
Hello again. I thank you again for the privilege of coming into your home, to being with you. Since we've been talking in the last few times, we've been speaking about the role of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit, being the first fruits of Christ's redemption, is our inspiration, our comforter, our friend. The Holy Spirit is a person. And when you and I call upon Him in whatever way, with whatever kind of prayer, we actualize love in our lives. And if there is one thing that's necessary, it is this actualizing of God's love in our daily lives. Not just once in our lifetime. We don't just get reborn and that's it for the rest of our lives. It's a daily process. And the one who will help us in our daily life is the Holy Spirit. And He comes to us with seven magnificent gifts. These are the traditional ones, and there are many others that He comes with, but we've been speaking about wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, courage, piety, fear of the Lord. We've spoken about wisdom, to do the right thing at the right time to the right person. We've spoken about knowledge, that the Holy Spirit will help us know God better, to know our neighbor better, and to know ourselves better. And now, what I'd like to do is to speak to you about understanding. Understanding is another gift. And the way I define it is this. It's the ability to understand my God better, to understand my neighbor better, and to understand myself better. That might sound very simple, but let's admit it. There isn't one of us in this world, every one of you sitting out there and me standing here, that hasn't at some time in your life or mine, in any person's life, hasn't said to God, why? Especially if something's going down in our lives that is unpleasant, that is unacceptable, something that seems unbelievably unjust, we yell out from the depths of our crying hearts, why, God? Why me? How many times haven't I heard people say, Father, I go to church every Sunday or every week, I'm involved in my parish, and I'm driving a Ford. And the guy across the way, he does nothing right. He's a thief, he's a crook, and he's got a Cadillac. Why me? I've been to many a hospital ward, and a young baby is dying. And a young father and mother are bending over the crib of that little dying child and saying, why, God? How many times haven't you heard it? I have. When a young boy, 17, 18 years old, just graduated from college, or maybe just out of high school, is killed in the city streets. Why him? He was such a good boy. Or who of us doesn't know someone who's been raped? And we wonder why God would allow such things to happen to such nice people. How many of us haven't suffered with someone young in our families who've had cancer? And we've seen them waste away. I've seen young, healthy priests, the hope of the future, die before they're 29. Why them and not me? Everybody asks that question. And that's a good, healthy question. There's nothing wrong with it. If you're angry, isn't it healthy and isn't it holy to express it? Of course it is. To hold it in and to fill yourself with resentment is wrong. And so what I'm saying is this. When you and I suffer something that we don't understand, it's healthy to ask God why. It's part of our prayer life. It's part of ourselves. But I'm saying this. If you and I use the gift of understanding, what we will be able to achieve is this. The knowledge that our God still loves us, but that He's going to continue to do things we can't understand. You know, everybody in my family is dead. My father died when I was very young, and I was raised by a widowed mother. I've lost three brothers and a sister before they were a year old. And it never really seemed to bother me, but over the years, I began to get a little bit angry at God. Why I didn't have grandmothers and grandfathers. They were all dead or I never met them. I never visited an aunt or an uncle. I didn't have them. They were either dead or they wanted no part of us. I didn't have a family. I've never married a relative. I've never baptized a nephew's child. And classmates of mine would say, I'm going to visit my aunt, I'm going to visit my uncle, I'm going down to this house. I didn't have that. And it never really dawned on me that unconsciously I was a little bit angry at God that I had no family. Until one time I was giving a talk on Thanksgiving on the island of Saipan in 1973. And I'm out there at the pulpit and I'm preaching and I'm saying we should be thankful to God for all that He has given us. And in the middle of saying that, it dawned on me why God didn't give me the same kind of family He gave everybody in my class. He wanted me to know that I had another kind of family with a lot more aunts and a lot more uncles and a lot more brothers and a lot more sisters. That I had a family that was made up of millions of people. That's a very true story. But it was only at that time that I realized I was a little bit angry at God for taking away all human relatives. So now when I say Mass or when I say here on television, my brothers and my sisters, you know I mean that. And I think because God put me through the ringer a little bit, it was His way of teaching me the true value of being one in Christ. And that all men and all women, no matter who they are, no matter where they are my brothers and sisters. What I'm saying is this. I didn't understand then, and it took me a long time to realize that God has had His reasons. Nothing's changed. He still deals with me at times and lays things on me that I don't understand. A criticism, a rejection, a failure. And I wonder why. You know what I've learned, though, by praying to the Holy Spirit? To be patient with God. And to know this, that whatever goes down in our lives has a purpose. We all would like it a little bit different, but everything has its purpose and its place. Everything has its design. And the gift of understanding gives us the patience to wait for the answer. I grant you, I would like the answers for some things that are going down in my life right now. I'd like the neon light to flash on and said, all right, Kenneth, this is why I'm doing it. Or this is why I'm allowing it to happen. But God doesn't operate that way. But if I begin with square one, knowing my God loves me, I do know this, that in God's time and in God's way, He'll give me the answer. But meanwhile, I'll say I still don't like it, God. But I'll let it go down because I know God has a reason. When I was in the seminary, we used to have these litanies. You used to pray over and like a prayer wheel to the one to the Blessed Mother. And there was one phrase in there that I never understood. It was called Mystical Rose, Pray for Us. Didn't make any meaning to me at all. And when something doesn't mean anything to me, I start looking up the reason. So I looked up the word mystical, which means spiritual. I looked up the word rose. The rose is the queen of all the flowers. The fragrance of a rose is exquisite. And yet, that beautiful flower has a stem of thorns. And then it dawned on me why we called Mary the mystical rose. Of all the women that have walked this earth, she's the only woman who could say, "My baby is God. My baby is Jesus the Messiah." And this woman had to be, because of that, the happiest woman that ever walked this earth. The fragrance of the rose. And yet, the same woman is known in history as the mother of sorrows. When she took the child up to present him at the temple, Simeon the old man said, "A sword thy heart will pierce." So here is this woman, had the greatest of all joys of any female or any woman in the world, and the greatest sorrow. What is the lesson in the rose? God treated Mary proportionately. To the joy that he gave to Mary, he gave her proportionate sorrow. God is fair. He gave great joy, great sorrow. Fragrance and the thorns. And then some years after that, I read that in a Swedish legend that Christ is called the Christmas rose. And the same thing applies to Christ. Of all the men who walked this earth, only Jesus Christ could say, "I am God." Only he could say that. He carried heaven in his body. And therefore he had to be the happiest of all persons that have trod this earthly planet. And yet, Jesus Christ is called the man of sorrows. You know what the lesson is there? God the Father treated his son the same way he treated his own mother. Great joy, enormous sorrow, but proportionately. How did he treat us? The same way. Oh yes, he'll give you a great joy, but right around the corner, you're going to feel the thorns. And the lesson and the symbolism of the rose is this. If in your life right now there is sorrow and there's pain, be patient with God. The time will come soon when you will smell the fragrance of the rose. If you have pain now, the time will come when the pain will go. God never gives too much of anything to anyone. He balances it out just the way he treated his own son. And so what I'm saying to you is this. Use the Holy Spirit and that gift of understanding and say this. Holy Spirit, help me to use the gift of understanding so that I may be patient with my God. And if I'm feeling the thorns, give me the patience to wait for the fragrance. Take time to smell the flowers. Think about God's sense of balance as we take this break for a moment or two. You know, understanding God can be difficult, but understanding our neighbor can be even more difficult. God we can put up with because we do not see him. But how do we use the gift of understanding to get along with our neighbor? There's no surefire answer to understanding any other human being, including ourselves. But I do know this, that if you and I call upon the Holy Spirit to use the gift of understanding, not only will we be a little bit more patient with God, we'll be a little bit more patient with our neighbor. You know, today, an awful lot of people look to a lot of sources for answers to questions that baffle them. How many of you read the astrology charts? Oh, I don't believe them. I just read them, you know. But have you ever read the astrology charts and said, oh, hey, that's me? And if it's something real good, if it tells you about this is the time to make a financial investment, then you start looking at the Wall Street Journal. You don't really believe it, but maybe. We look to a lot of sources for answers about what is going on in my life or what is good for me. The astrology charts. The Dallas Cowboys use biorhythms to find out which ball player is going to be the best on a particular Saturday or Sunday afternoon. Looking for that key. They're really looking for understanding. How do we understand other people? Husbands, how do you understand your wives? Wives, how do you understand your husbands? Priests, ministers, how do you understand your people? People, how do you understand your ministers, your priests? Sisters, how do you understand your superiors? How does anyone understand anyone else? Parents, how do you understand your kids? How do kids understand their parents? There are many kinds of advice that people give. But I think one of the best ways to start off with on a human level, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is learn to listen. And the Holy Spirit will give you the patience to listen. Because that's what it really comes down to. Every one of us wants to share who we are with someone. It's in our nature. And if we can't find someone in our family, we will go out to strangers. And we will share our lives with a perfect stranger if at least the perfect stranger listens. You don't believe me? Ask any bartender. They're not getting answers from the bartender. They're getting an ear from the bartender. And so the symbol of the gift of understanding to understanding one another should be a big ear. God is willing to listen. You and I should be willing to listen too. The first is to listen. The second, may I use this example of what to think about when you want to understand your neighbor. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, there's a beautiful story of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, that's a very big name. The Babylonian king. In some translations, it's Nebuchadnezzar. In some translations, it's Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know anybody who could spell it. Even here at Eternal Word Network, I wonder how many could spell that king's name. Don't ask me. So what I come up with is, look, how I spell his name is unimportant. I'll give you a way to remember the name. Let's call him Nabucky. Now, Nabucky had a name. He had a dream. And in the dream, it was a giant statue. The statue had a head of gold and chest of silver and legs of bronze and shins of iron and feet of clay. He didn't know what the dream meant, and so he called in his astrologers, he called in his seers, and said, look, what did the dream mean? They couldn't tell him. He threatened them with death. And finally, he went to Daniel the prophet. And Daniel gave him an explanation, and the explanation in the Bible has to do with the different kingdoms of the world, that eventually there would be no kingdoms of man, but only the kingdom of God. And the bookie honored Daniel for that interpretation. Well, my paraphrase of that is this. It's a paraphrase, not an interpretation. Every human being that I meet has got a head of gold. And every human being that I meet has got varying degrees of talents. Some silver, some bronze, some iron. But every human being I meet has feet of clay. For me to understand another human being, to understand my mother before she died, to understand everyone here, to understand my close friends, I've got to remember two things at all times. They've got a head of gold and feet of clay. And if you and I use the gift of understanding, and we ask the Holy Spirit, help me to understand my wife, my husband, my children, my boys, my girls, my father, my mother, my grandfather, my uncles, whoever, my priest, my pastor, I'll tell you what. If you look at them and say, head of gold, you will appreciate that person's talent and value in the eyes of God. Oh, yes, you see the feet of clay. But don't go through life looking down at the ground. You look at everybody's feet, and you look at their faults and their failings. All you're really seeing are the thorns again. They're there. Our feet of clay are the most evident part of us. The mistakes we make, the boo-boos we make, they'll always be the most evident. But because our God creates us, because He knows who we really are, He sees our feet of clay too. But our God looks at our head of gold, and He says, I love you. I know you have feet of clay. I know you've sinned. I know you've made mistakes. But you have a head of gold. May I recommend to you what I do? And I don't always remember this. And I mean this honestly. When I don't remember that everybody's got a head of gold, it's when I've forgotten to ask the Holy Spirit to help me remember who they are. And to use the gift of understanding. But every time I said, Holy Spirit, help me to use the gift of understanding in dealing with this person, I look for, it's like a detective game, I look for the head of gold in everybody I meet. And everybody I meet has got it. It might take me a while to find it, but I'll be patient enough because I want to see what God sees. I'm stubborn enough to want that. I want to see what God sees in the guy in jail. I want to see what God sees with the guy on the street. I want to see what God sees in the person in jail. And in 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be saying Mass in the Los Angeles jails. I want to walk in there and see what God sees in those men and women. And then, you know what I found out? I cracked the safe. I found the secret of understanding my neighbor. I have seen the head of gold. My brothers and sisters, my family. I don't see you physically, but if I walked into your home right now, and if I walked into the nursing home where you might happen to be, or in the recreation room of some home, I know who I would see. A human being with feet of clay, but a human being with head of gold. And what I'd like each of you to do tonight, because you see, to understand anyone else, you have to understand yourself. Sometime tonight, would you look in a mirror? And would you say to yourself, no matter what you've done in your life, look at yourself with nobody else around and say to yourself, my God, I believe you live in me. Thank you. And then you'll be able to see your head of gold, your talents, your gifts, and in doing that, you will see the talents and the gift of others better than ever before. You will begin looking only for the head of gold. Before we close out this segment, I would like to read a prayer of one of my favorite men. His name is Cardinal Newman. And he had a prayer that really says it all. It's a prayer of resignation, where he says, and pray along and meditate with me. God has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me which he has not committed to another. I have my mission. I may never know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for naught. I shall do good. I shall do his work. I shall be an angel of peace, a preacher of truth in my own place, while not intending it, if I do but keep his commandments. And therefore I will trust him wherever, whatever I am. I can never be thrown away. If I am in sickness, my sickness may serve him. In perplexity, my perplexity may serve him. If I am in sorrow, my sorrow may serve him. He does nothing in vain. He knows what he is about. He may take away my friends. He may throw me among strangers. He may make me feel desolate, make my spirits sink, hide my future from me. Still, he knows what he is about. Holy Spirit, help me to use your gift of understanding. Alleluia.
Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do your will.